If you'd open your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, and we're going to be basing our study today off of our theme, One Thing is Needful, up there on the wall, and we're going to find out what that one thing is that Jesus had made a clear declaration that this is what's needed for every single believer. Luke chapter 10, and we'll begin reading in verse 38, a very familiar story. It says, "Now it came to pass as they went," talking about Jesus and the disciples, "that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, 'Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she should help me.' And Jesus answered and said unto her, 'Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things.'" And here's our theme. But one thing is needful. It's a priority. "And Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her." Let's pray. Father, as we begin this new year in the house of God, around the Word of God, may the Spirit of God speak to each one of us individually. Have we taken the steps to make sure that this is the one thing needful that we've chosen for our lives? Well, maybe we have neglected it through the year 2020. One, but Lord, we've entered a new year, new opportunities. May it become the one thing that we choose, the good part, that we might draw closer to you in this year, and we'll be sure to give you the praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen. As I was wrapping up the end of the year, we, somewhere around October, November, the Lord had me read through the gospel of Luke. I was reading through the Bible in a year, and I'd come to the Gospel of Luke, and that phrase, "one thing is needful," stood out to me. And I thought that would make a great theme for a church for a whole year, that we would see how Mary thought that it was so needful to sit at the feet of Christ, to just sit and listen to what he has to teach, to listen to his instruction, to personally take in and absorb the words of God himself. And thus we come up with the theme here. Thus, I thought, well, that's a good thing to be under and hearing the Word of God. But then we ended up, when we ordered our calendars to give out at Christmas, it was on the commands of Christ. So each month you have a new command. So you have a new teaching from Christ where even your calendar is going to speak to you as you flip it to the next one each month as to what the Lord wants to tell us for that month. And then we ended up doing our 90-day devotional books to take time as families to sit at his feet and listen to his word and read through the New Testament in 90 days. And then I thought, well, we might as well add one more thing. The Bible says that thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin. So our whole focus for the first 90 days or more will be on just God's word and growing in the Christian life, being a successful Christian, not in the eyes of man, but in the eyes of God, what pleases him. As a matter of fact, every once in a while, I come across these little things that I can stick in the bulletin. And this one was really, really good. If you haven't read it, you ought to take time after the message, all right, today, on three requirements for a God-pleasing life. Real simple teaching, but really powerful to make you think, wow, I can do that by God's grace and through his Spirit. As we get into this story, Jesus has entered into the town where Mary and Martha live. They also had a brother named Lazarus. Lazarus is not spoken of in this setting here. But we see that Jesus makes mention and uses the phrase, "one thing is needful." One thing is absolutely necessary for you and I to grow in the Christian life more than we have. Now, we are to continue growing all of our lives. None of us have become so mature that we are no need of growing any longer. But one thing is absolutely necessary, and if we are to live a healthy, a happy, and a useful Christian life, we need to take in what we see here. And what is this, exactly this one thing that Jesus says is needful? Here they are, they're entertaining Jesus Christ, God Himself. They're entertaining the 12 apostles at this point in time. Martha is being a splendid hostess, that she's opened her home to have an opportunity to serve. She's busied herself with all the preparations of the food. She's getting things ready for Jesus and the disciples. Mary is sitting at the feet of Christ, listening to His teaching, listening to the wonderful things that He wants to share with them as well as with us. And perhaps Martha said in her heart, what a privilege it is for me to prepare a meal for the Son of God. And maybe Mary thought in her heart, what a privilege and an honor it is for me to sit at the Son of God's feet and listen to the one who spoke all things into existence and hear Him speak to me personally. I think that they both were right. Amen? When we have a chance to serve the Lord, when we have a chance to hear the words of Christ, what a privilege it is. But evidently, Martha felt that Mary was a little unreasonable in leaving her to serve all by herself. And that is when Jesus spoke very tenderly to Martha. Because actually, if you read that text correctly, she's actually questioning Christ. Aren't you going to say something to her? She's almost like commanding Him to... Do we do that in our prayer time? Kind of ask God, tell God what we want Him to do? And she's kind of doing that. And Jesus tells her here, He says, Martha, in verse 40, Martha was cumbered about much serving and came and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, tell her, I'm telling you what to do, you know? And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled. Careful and troubled. The word careful here means that she was very anxious and troubled in spirit, in her thinking. But it also means that she was troubled, she was disturbed. So she was critiquing what she thought the other, her sister, should be doing. You see, you and I can be serving Christ sincerely and yet have the wrong attitude in the process. What is it that Jesus told Peter after Peter had denied the Lord three times, and later he walks with Peter quietly and he asks Simon Peter, lovest thou me more than these? And three times he says, yea, you know that I love thee. And after he confirms the love of Peter and the commitment of Peter, Peter says, well, what about him, pointing to John? What's he going to do? And Jesus says, that's none of your business. And that's a paraphrase, but he's saying that's not for you to be concerned with. Our concern is ourselves for 2022. That's enough to handle. Amen. And if we are serving to be serving Jesus for Jesus, it shouldn't be mattering concerning us what somebody else is doing. And so that's the setting that's taking place here. And he tells her here in verses 41 and 42, he says, one thing is needful. He goes, and he says, Mary, now he's talking to her sister, Martha, Mary has chosen the good part which shall not be taken away. This, as we talk about this one thing that's needful, this is the first requirement for every single Christian. Not service. Service is good. Not working. Working and laboring, we're laborers together with God. It's good. But sitting is the number one requirement. It's the first requirement, is sitting at Jesus' feet and hearing His teaching and His instruction for us. Now, I want us to look at a couple of things this morning, and I'm going to bring it out. The first point I want to bring is a question. What does this one thing imply? When Jesus says one thing is needful, what does that imply? First, it implies reception. Reception. In verse 38, we read that Martha received Jesus into her home. It's very clear. It's worded perfectly. Verse 38, now it came to pass as they went, they entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha, it says, received her into her home. And if she received her into the home, so as well did Mary. They both received Christ into their home. Before Mary could sit at the Savior's feet, she had to welcome him into her presence. Now, that's a real simple thought, folks, but she could not be sitting at his feet, and Martha could not be serving him if they did not open up their home to receive him in. And I wonder how many Christians last year came to church, listened to things, but they never received Christ. They never have taken and had that personal presence with him through the year. You see, Jesus tells us in Revelation, there's a church there, a group of people there, that he was outside the door going like this, knocking to come in. They had not received him in. Thus, they were not getting the instruction that they needed to get them through that year. To sit at his feet, to listen to his words, implies that there is a reception that has taken place. And that means you have to have received Christ, number one, as your Savior. To receive him as your Savior is the greatest thing that you can ever do. But to receive him as your instructor, as your master, and to sit under his feet to receive what he wants to instruct us with and how to live is another. And so the question we ask for 2022 this morning is, have you received the Lord Jesus into your heart as definitely as Mary and Martha received him into the house? Have you received Christ as your Savior? And if so, we just sing the song, O Jesus, Lord and Savior. Is he been received as the Lord? You see, a lot of people receive him as Savior almost like a fire escape to get out of hell. But they don't receive him as the Lord because they still do the things that they want to do. Jesus said to a bunch of people, and this was a prophetic setting that there's coming a day, he says, when many will say unto me, Lord, Lord, did we not do this and did we not do that in your name? And he says, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that worked iniquity. He says, you never lived with me. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, he said, and do not the things which I say? Very important teaching, folks, because evidently there's going to be many people who went to church, Bible-preaching churches, and they think that they're going to heaven. And when they stand before Christ, he doesn't let them in. You didn't receive me. I will not receive you. Whosoever, therefore, or is our verse, shall confess me before men, him will I also. Him will I, huh? Confess also. All right. I did say it right the first time to Don. Him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. If you receive the Son will receive you and confess you before the Father. And Mary has received him. The Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 11, it says, he came unto his own. Think about this verse. Jesus was a part of the creation. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made, the Bible says. And then it says that after he had made everything, and even after men sinned, he says that he came down here as a part of the eternal plan. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But, verse 12, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. And so we see there's a great deal of reception taking place. Mary and Martha received him into their home. Have you received him into your heart as a Savior? And you can say, yes, I have. Have you received him as Lord and Master? I give myself to thee, for thou, in thine atonement, did give thyself for me. I own no other master. Can you just sing that? And Jesus says that every idle word that we speak, we will be held accountable for. That word idle means everything that we speak, whether it's in a hymn or whatever, I own no other master, and yet you are not yielding to him. He says, you just said that, and now that was a lie. Last year you didn't live for me. And so he's given us another year. Somebody had posted a thing that says, the globe has gone around the sun one more time. God has given man another year to get things taken care of in their life. So we see that this one thing that it implies, number one, it implies reception. Number two, it implies devotion. The fact that Mary was sitting at the Savior's feet indicates that she loved him very, very much. She loved him very, very much. She knew how much he loved her. John tells us in 1 John 4:19 that we love him. How many of y'all love Jesus Christ? Say amen.
Amen.
He says we love him because he first loved us. That's what 1 John 4:19 says. So here we see there's no question about her devotion. She is, if Jesus was sitting here, she was down here at his feet, taking in. That's how devoted she was. She knew how much he loved her. She loved him for who he was. She loved him for his teaching, for his words. I think she loved him for what she knew was coming also. I think Mary understood Calvary before Calvary came. And she's showing her love to him. He showed his love to us, did he not? And now we have to show our love to him. And John tells us in the Gospel of John, in chapter 14 and verse 15, he says, Jesus is speaking here, and Jesus is saying today to all of us, if you love me, keep my commandments. Keep my word. He that loveth me and keepeth not my commandments, he says, is a liar. You can say, you know the old saying, talk is what, everybody?
Cheap.
You can say one thing, oh, I love the Lord. He goes, James tells us, don't tell me about your faith. Show me it. Show me your faith. Jesus told the religious crowd of his day, he says that they were hypocrites. They said one thing and lived another. There was no devotion. Mary's showing true devotion, true love. And Mary did love him. And she, in order for us to keep his commandments, if Jesus says in John 14, 15, if you love me, keep my commandments, how is Mary supposed to keep his commandments if she doesn't sit at his feet and learn what they are? If you don't spend time in the Word of God, because you're devoted to the one who died for you, how can you take and keep what he's asked you to keep when you have never received them? It goes back from reception to devotion. She was listening to him and learning from him. In Matthew chapter 15, hold your place here, we'll come back. But in Matthew 15, in verse number 8, watch what it says. And Jesus is speaking here. And in John, Matthew 15, in verse 8, it says, Jesus says this, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. They're saying one thing, but they're so distant, there's no true spirit within them. Flip over to Mark chapter 7. In Mark chapter 7, look at verse number 6. Jesus is speaking. He answered and said unto them, well hath Isaiah prophesied of you, hypocrites. As it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Go back to the Old Testament book of, guess what? Isaiah. Jesus is quoting scripture. He's quoting the prophet Isaiah. And in Isaiah chapter 29 is the prophecy that Jesus is quoting from that was coming to pass. Excuse me, pages are all sticking here. Look at verse number 13. Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips, do honor me, but have removed. I want you to catch that. There's a little bit of a change here. He says, they have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precepts of men. You and I can remove our hearts from him. And Isaiah says, he saw it in his day. Jesus says, I see it in my day. And I think it goes right on through to today. A lack of devotion. A lack of devotion. And then this one thing also implies not only reception and devotion, but if she's seated at his feet, it implies, thirdly, submission. You see, Mary did not stand at his feet, she sat. And that indicates that she was submissive to him. She recognized him not just as a teacher or a master, but she recognized him as God incarnate. God in the flesh was sitting right in front of her. The one who had given her life as well as eternal life. She subjected herself. When you sit at the feet of Jesus, you are subjecting yourself to his authority over your life. Thus, there are times when we're going to hear words from Christ, from the Bible, from his authority, that's going to instruct me on what I need to be doing. There's going to be times I'm going to hear in his teaching things that I need to get out of my life. Things that I'm doing that are wrong, that he says, I'm not your Lord and Master if you're going to do this. I'm showing you this is what thou shalt do and thou shalt not do. There's all of those teachings for our good, which also acknowledges that we are subjected to his authority. We are submitting ourselves to his truth and to his teaching. She is sitting at a place of humility. She had humbled herself. The word humility means to come under. We use a Greek word, it's called hupotasso, H-U-P-O-T-A-S-S-O, hupotasso. And it means to come under. Mary was coming under the authority and the teaching of Christ. That's where every Christian should be. And whenever I decide to choose to sin, anybody here ever sin? We sin in our thoughts, we sin in words, the things that we say, and we sin in the things that we do. And when we sin, we come out from under his authority because it's going against his teaching, and we come alongside him and make ourselves equal to the Son of God, to our Master. And then we can, by God's grace, acknowledge that, confess that, according to 1 John 1:9, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, and then we come back under him again. This is what this implies, that I have received him, that I'm devoted to keeping his word, and I can't keep his word if I don't spend time in it. And then submitting to that. We have a verse out here on this wall, is Ezra 7:10. The Bible says that Ezra prepared his heart. Remember, Isaiah says, their heart they made far from him. Jesus says, their heart was far from him. Ezra said he prepared his heart to do three things: to seek the law of the Lord, to begin to study the scriptures, then to do what he found, and then to begin to teach others what he's living out now. So there's a heart preparation that has to take place. Evidently, Mary had already done that. And it's evidence because the teaching of Christ says that it's the one thing that's needed, and it's the good part. So the first point is, what does this one thing imply? And we saw reception, devotion, submission. The second point is also a question. And why is this one thing so absolutely necessary? Why do we really need this for 2022? Why is this one thing so absolutely necessary? First off, it is absolutely necessary if we are to experience a well-balanced Christian life. Somebody has said a long time ago that balance is a very fine point. We are to be balanced in mercy. Jesus, the Bible says that Jesus was full of mercy and truth. Mercy without truth yields and says, we don't correct our children like we should. We don't respond correctly. Truth can be very, by itself, without mercy, can be very dogmatic and hard. And the Bible says that Jesus combines those both. That's why he could have a woman brought to him in the synagogue and thrust down before him. He said, we found this woman in the very act of adultery. That means they had to have gone into a room, pulled them apart, brought her in and cast her down. Where was the guy?
That's right.
They were both guilty. And Jesus is truth. He says, I'm the way, the truth. He's truth. And so what does he do? He kneels down and he begins to write in the dirt with his finger. The same hand that wrote in the dirt, the same finger that wrote in the dirt. And the Bible doesn't say what he wrote, but it says every one of those men were convicted, beginning with the oldest. And the oldest guy saw what he was writing and he turned around and walked away. And each one began to walk away, and everyone to the least walked away. And as Jesus got done, he looked up and he sees that she's all by herself. And he says, woman, where are thine accusers? And she says, I have none. And Jesus, I believe, stood up, maybe even grabbing her by the hand and raising her up, and says, neither do I condemn thee. Mercy. But then he states, go and sin no more. Truth. Mercy will usually precede truth. They're both hand in hand. They're both locked together. They're both coupled. But mercy is extended and truth. If you and I are to live this well-balanced life, a couple of things are important. The two elements, we're talking about balance here, the two elements of a well-balanced Christian life are sitting at Jesus' feet, and don't forget Martha, and serving. Sitting and serving. Sitting and serving. Receiving at the feet and giving with the hands. But I want you to understand the sitting must always precede the serving. I've shared before, when Satan tempted Jesus to bow down before him and become a Satan worshiper, he offered him all the things of the world. And Jesus says, it is written, thou shalt worship, sit down and worship, listen to the word of God, the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Jesus is saying the same thing. Sitting is priority and serving. In John chapter 10, there's a good illustration there where Jesus is speaking, and he used a lot of illustrations. He says, I am the door. Y'all remember that? He says, sometimes he was a shepherd. He says, I am the light of the world. But in John 10, 9, he says, I am the door. And then he says, by me or through me, if any man will enter in, that's the condition, he shall be saved and shall go in and out to find pasture. In before out. In before out. First in, then out. First worship, then witnessing. You cannot be an effective witness if you're not spending time at the feet of Jesus worshiping. There's that devotion again. Matter of fact, as I was reading John 10, 9, I thought, I know that there is a hamburger place that's called In-N-Out. And they are Christian. As a matter of fact, on the cups, if you open, look on the bottom, they always have a verse of scripture. I think it's John 3:16. How many of you ever eaten there? How many of you ever seen the verses underneath? How many of you said, I've never noticed the verses. If you look at them, don't go like this. All right? I remember watching a thing one time where they had these, it was kind of like a kingdom era. And the father was the king and his son was the prince, and they are getting ready to take and crown his son to take his role as the king. And the ritual they went through was that there was a real fancy chalice with jewels all around it. And he says, son, when you partake of this holy chalice, you must always drink from this side of the cup. He goes, I understand, father. He goes, no, you must always remember, son, that when you partake of this chalice, you must always drink upon this side of the cup. And he goes, but why, father? He says, because if you drink off of this side, you'll pour it all the way down you. And of course, it went all down. Okay, never mind. And 2022 officially begins. All right? Bad jokes, all right? Sorry. Why is this one thing absolutely necessary? If you want to live the balanced Christian life, it must be worship, witnessing, sitting, and then serving. Also, it is absolutely necessary for grow in grace, growing in grace. How many of you would like to grow in grace more this year?
Amen. Amen.
Many Christians, I think, sadly remain in an immature state, in what we would call biblical infancy, because they are neglecting fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ through His Word. Peter tells us in 2 Peter 3:18, he says, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." Peter is challenging Christians during a time of persecution to be growing. Now, don't be pulling back. Don't be hiding. Don't quit confessing Him before men. Now is the time to grow. You're going to be growing in the grace and in the knowledge, to have a knowledge of who He is and what He's doing, and understanding why He's doing what He's doing. That's what wisdom is. Wisdom is seeing things through God's perspective. There's a lot of things that happen in your life and mine. Why am I going through this? God is perfect. He has an eternal plan. Lord, give me wisdom so I can see why. I can understand. But also, there was a time when whoever, we don't know who the writer is of Hebrews, but the writer of Hebrews says something very incredible in Hebrews 5:12. He's looking at these believers here, these Christians, and he says this to them in the 12th verse. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, or the ABCs of basic Christianity. You guys have been saved for a long time. Praise God, amen. You've been saved for 20 years, 30 years. I've been saved now for 42 years. 43 coming up, I think. And that's a great thing. But if I was still sucking on my thumb spiritually and say, I can only drink milk, something's wrong, correct? Something's wrong physically when we have that situation happen. We want to see that newborn baby. We check to make sure they got five fingers, five toes, five fingers on each hand and five toes on each hand, all right? They got 10. And we want to see them begin to grow and develop, and they begin to go from the rolling over stage, which we get excited about, they rolled over. Why do we get excited about something so simple? That's growth. That's a part of the development. Then they start crawling. Judah right now is crawling around everywhere. Now he's getting to the next day where he pulls himself up and kind of walks along things. And then if he sees you, he'll try to walk toward you, but then he kind of just falls, trusting that you'll catch him, you know? So he's developing. We see all of these things happening. That should be happening spiritually. And he goes, you guys have been, right now, you guys have been saved long enough that you should be teachers. You should be instructing people, and I have to instruct you in A, B, C, D, E, F, G. That's where they were at. That is not a compliment, all right? Not at all. And that's what he's saying. Now watch what he goes on. For the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become as have need of milk and not strong drink. Or strong meat. Sorry, we don't want strong drink, do we? Strong meat. If we are to be what we ought to be in our sitting and our serving, we have to develop this area where we're growing in the grace. There's a knowledge of God that we know more about Him. We have drawn closer to Him this year than we were last year. You and I should be, by the time we close out this year, if God gives us that opportunity, we should be able to look back and say, I'm closer to the Lord today than I was when I began this year. I know more. I know more about Him because of this one thing is needful. And then also, thirdly, it's absolutely necessary. This one thing is necessary, is for clear guidance. Clear guidance. I don't know what tomorrow will bring, and neither do you. There is nothing I believe that the Lord longs to do more for us than to guide us in all of our details of every single day living. And in order for Him to guide us, we have to be close enough to Him that we can hear that still, small voice whispers, Kevin, go this way. Go this way. Proverbs chapter 3, we're all familiar with, verse 5 and 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. The heart comes back into the picture again, doesn't it? You can't love Him with all your heart if you've made your heart far from Him. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understandings. That means we have a tendency to do it our way. And I did it my way. Who sang that long ago? Who was it? Right. And that's how a lot of times the Christian world lives. I did it my way. Leaning to our own understanding. In all thy ways, the ways of living. In all thy ways, what?
Acknowledge
Him, and then He shall direct your paths. Bing, 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 bing. But it begins with the heart. And then He says, ah, you've learned to sit. You've learned the one thing that's needful. I wonder how many, even in our midst this morning, have been saved a while, and you haven't learned this one thing that's needful in your life. And you say, I knew all about it, but I just don't practice it. Or I am practicing it, and we rejoice that God leads us every step of the way. I need to move on here. It's absolutely necessary for overcoming. This is an interesting one, self. Overcoming self. You ever have a problem with yourself? The majority of your problems and mine are self problems. Martha was irritated. Martha was distracted. Martha was complaining. All while serving Jesus. Think about that one. And I believe that it could have been prevented if she would have known how to get low at the Savior's feet. She might have understood it, but have gotten sidetracked. You are troubled about many things. We let the troubles of the cares of this life get us entangled. One sure way of overcoming the self life, I believe, is regularly, daily, sitting at Jesus' feet and taking in the Word. That's why the little gospel books will help. That's why reading through the New Testament will help. But then you also have to have your personal time that you sit down and say, open thou mine eyes, Lord, that I might behold wondrous things out of thy law. Isaiah says this in Isaiah 57. Listen to this verse, incredible verse. Isaiah 57:15. This is God speaking here. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. Now think about that. Psalm 90, verse number 2, one of my favorite verses, it says, from everlasting vanishing point to everlasting vanishing point, thou art God. Psalm 90, verse 2 makes it very clear about the infinity of God, that He never was. There was never a time that God began. There's never a time that He ends. Oh, I don't understand it. We have finite minds. They are limited. And God's mind is infinite. If this is the beginning of creation and this is when it all wraps up, God is outside of time and He sees all. He knows exactly where we're at in that track. And He knows exactly where you and I in that tracking. And this is the one that's saying, saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. Listen to what He says. I dwell. God's declaring where He's at. I dwell. He's given you the address of where to go to. I dwell in the high and holy place. That's where He's at. Paul called it paradise in Corinthians. He called it the third heaven. He says, I don't know whether I was in the body or out of body, but I was caught up to the third heaven. And then he says, paradise. And this high and lofty one, whose name is holy, He says, I dwell in this high and holy place. And then it has a comma. And it says, listen to this, with him. With who? With him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. If you will be where Mary is, you will be dwelling with a high and lofty one, the one who inhabits eternity. You can be where God is, and it comes through times of spending time at his feet. If we would take our devotional time and not see it as, this is where I come and sit down and go through, and it's duty that I have to do this so I can mark it off my list, and spend it more of a time that I'm sitting with him in the high and holy place. And he wants to revive me even more. He wants me to be even of a more humble and contrite spirit. That's overcoming self, sitting at his feet. And then lastly, it's absolutely necessary to gain his commendation. In verse 42, back in Luke, Jesus says, but one thing, that's a priority, is needful. And look what he says, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken from her. We're told here that our Lord commended Mary for sitting at his feet and hearing his word. He calls it the good part. The good part that's not going to be taken from her. His word was more important than the food that was about to be partaken of. Job tells us in Job 23 that his word was greater than his necessary food. Man, I woke up late today and I had to run out of the house. I didn't have time for my devotions. And as I ran out of the house, I grabbed me a bite to eat. Job says, if you don't have time to spend with me, God, why do you have time to eat? He goes, my importance, I gave you the bread. Have you ever thought when you think, Lord, thank you for this toast? Anybody ever eat toast for breakfast? And sometimes I'll make a piece of toast and I'll take a bite I'll say, Lord, thank you for this bread. And I start eating it. Sometimes I think, Lord, I thank you for not just this bread, but I thank you for the process. Think about the process to get that piece of bread in my hand. That there was a farmer who was dependent on God to bring the right rain and the soil. And God, and the seed was planted and brought up the crop so that there would be the wheat for it and all those. And you think, that's what you're thanking him for, the whole process. But above all, you're thanking him, because without all that process, I would not have even a piece of bread held in my hand to thank him for. So he's commending her for sitting at his feet, for hearing his word, for receiving the good part. He says, I'm not going to take that away from her. How many of you would like to hear this year a word of commendation from the Lord? Well, some of us have lost our loved ones, and on this side of glory we're heavy and we miss them. On that side they stepped out and he says, well done. He commended them for their service here. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. The commendation of Christ. He is pleased with our service. As a matter of fact, the Bible doesn't say anything about it. Evidently, when this was all done, they did sit down, they did fellowship, and they did eat. And I'll guarantee you that Jesus looked at Martha. He says, Martha, as he grabbed his napkin and wiped his face, that was a fantastic meal. I believe he would have commended her for her service. But he was trying to redirect her of what was even more important than this. What was even more, delicious than this meal. The Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. If you don't have time for your devotions with God, you don't even have time to eat. Or you put that above him. God help us, amen. We will only get this one thing by real determination and resolution this year. Look at verse 42, and I'll close with this. But one thing is needful. Now watch what it says. And Mary has chosen. Take that little name, Mary, M-A-R-Y, and visually take it and peel it out and put your name in there. You could put Althea or Kevin or Timothy or Janet or Vonda, or you can put your name in there, whatever it is, and says, would your name fit into that spot? And Kevin has chosen the good part. Have you chosen the good part? Could Jesus declare, if he was writing this and you were there at this time frame, would he say that you've chosen the good part? Mary chose to sit at Jesus' feet. You see what I'm getting at here for 2022? It was a matter of deliberate choice. How determined are you to please the Lord, to receive his instruction, to sit at his feet? What's your choice? What's your choosing? I wonder if we might stand. We'll have a closing prayer here. We don't have a invitation song chosen, but while you're standing, I just wanted to ask a couple of questions while you have your heads bowed and your eyes closed as we begin 2022. This is just the second day of the year. We have great opportunities ahead of us. As I may mention, we don't know what this year holds for us as families, as individuals, as a church. We sing an old hymn, many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand. But I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. And what better place for each one of us to choose to be with that type of mindset that Mary had, to sit at Jesus' feet, just to take time to hear him, apply what he teaches us to our lives. The Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Perhaps there's someone here this morning that has not received him. There was not the reception. I wonder how many of you would say, I have received Jesus Christ as my Savior. Just slip up your hand and put it back down. You know Christ is your Savior. You received him. Amen. Everywhere. I wonder how many of us could raise our hand and say, Pastor, I need prayer because I really am not sitting at his feet as my Lord. How many would say, pray for me? Help me to pray for me that I might sit at his feet. Yes, all over the place. We all have opportunity to sit down, be still, and know God. Our Father, we humbly bow before thee. Whether the message was shorter or whether it even extended and went on, it boils down to this one thing that's needful, and we have to make that choice that's going to be the good part in our lives. And I know it's easy to make a commitment, Lord, and then forget it. But please, by your grace and through your mercy, I pray that even right now where we're standing, that people would choose the good part, that they would get themselves back on track in a very close, humble relationship with their Savior. They will become more effective in their service, more useful and balanced in their walk, a better witness. Just ask, Father, that you'd help us all to yield ourselves and to humble ourselves before you today. And of course, if we do, you said, I won't take it away. It will not be taken away. He wants us to draw near to him. Help us to do that today, Lord, in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.